himself is dwelling in you and you are dwelling in Christ. That gift of Christmas in your life, that gift of Christ in me and me in Christ is what Paul really addresses in Colossians. And he doesn't diminish, of course, at all the fact that Christ was born in the manger in the stable, but he emphasizes the fact of what it means that God was in Christ reconciling the world, and that in baptism God took me and put me into Christ to bring about the reconciliation, the new life that he wanted in my life too. The light didn't come just to the stable, and the message didn't come just to the shepherds. The light came into my life and your life. The light that says, this is not the way the world is supposed to be. We're calling you out of darkness into light. No matter how many people move you in the direction of saying, this is what the world has decided, and this is the way it's got to be, or other things like that, the same way the manger was a radical departure of all the darkness, evil, and compromise in the world at the time, Christ in my life brings a radical departure from all the evil darkness in my own life or in the world around me. It does not let me live like the world or value what the world values. It produces in me a different kind of understanding, because it's like turning on a light switch and I see things that I've never seen before. And so like the shepherds, I come to the stable having had something revealed to me so stunning, so shocking that I have to understand it, and I can't do anything besides praise God after I begin to experience that. And so in this particular section that we're finishing up in Colossians, it says this, phrase like this, don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He's lost connection with the head and from the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. The warning, of course, is that in the busyness of Christmas, don't let anything pull you away. Don't let things distract you. Don't let the world and the lies and deceptions of the world that this is okay and these people are wrong or right, don't let those distractions move you away from God. The ability of those lies to be unbelievably powerful is real. And so even in the Christmas message, there is this force pushing against our own children. Like, Christmas is all about the presents. Or Christmas is all about the tree. Or Christmas is all about what you are getting me. And it doesn't change just because we get older. That battle, that wages, that appeal of the things of the world upon our own heart and our own set of behaviors. And so here's Paul going, don't let anyone deceive you. The simplicity of the Christmas message shared by the children and the youth, the simplicity, the purity, the clarity of the message is that Christ came into this world to bring light into the darkness, that we might have salvation, that we might walk in the power of God and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we might bring the Christmas message, like the shepherds, like others, to the people around us. And so Paul, in this letter, is bringing the people of Colossae to that point because he really wants them to know. And so I hope the little kids and the big kids, no matter how much fun they had or challenging it was, realize that even in the humor of the story, the message comes through. Although I did learn today that the innkeeper was the hero. I had never known that one before, but well played, and I thought that was good. So I will have new respect for innkeepers, especially if they're girls in long brown outfits or whatever. And so you begin to understand the thing, of course, is that the simplicity and the purity of the gospel preached, whether it comes out of little children's voices or songs or whatever else comes together, is the message God is trying to get through to these Colossians, who are nothing more than Christians like you and I, who sometimes get it mixed up. And so he says, don't let anyone deceive you. Don't be pulled away by those appealing lies of the world. Don't be deceived by what you see on TV. Don't let the lies of some of the other music that's out there pull you away or lie to you either. And so in the middle of that challenge, God continues to work. And then he finishes off with this thought. He says, since you have died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why do you live as though you belong to it? Do not submit to its rules. Do not handle. Do not touch. These are destined to perish with use because they are based on humans' commands and teaching. Such regulations have the appearance of wisdom, but they themselves are nothing and do no good for the sensual restraining of the body. Now he's addressing something related to the church. And he says, don't try and look good on the outside. You know, we all have kind of our Christmas outfit and our Christmas face and our Christmas things. Just don't worry about the outside. It's like I tried to pray over the parents. I said, what matters is whether the kids got a little bit more of the message today. You guys have seen enough Christmas programs. And yet, did the kids, in their little performance, in their presentation, understand a little bit more of the Christmas message? Do they understand how precious they are in the kingdom of God? Do they understand that Christ wants to come and live within them? And that in baptism, God took them and put them in Christ. And in that miracle that took place in that moment, the Christmas message brings about its completion, its purpose, its ultimate culmination, which is ultimately for me to understand Christ has come for me and in me to rescue me from the lies and deceptions of the world. And so in this last closing part that Paul ends up with, he says, the human commands are all out there. The human demands are all around you. Spend money on this. Behave this way. Don't behave that way. Live this kind of lifestyle. That kind of lifestyle is okay. These circumstances, those circumstances. And the voices shout from all directions. And yet, in this morning's performance or presentation, whatever you want to call it, by the kids, the simplicity of the message that the shepherds figured out, that the wise men understood, that message still came through. And so, our challenge for this Christmas season, our challenge to grow up in and understand and learn, is that Christ has come for me. Christ has come to live in my life. Christ has come to give me life. And in that intimate moment when that finally makes sense, excuse me, and you begin to understand that, in the story of the Christmas message, whether you're 1, 2, or 3 years old, or 101, 2, or 3 years old, that's the real Christmas that we're talking about. Pray with me if you would. Father, for the gift of children, for the purity of the Christmas message, for the understanding you give beyond our comprehension, into tender minds and hearts. For the work that you continue to do in the love of this world, for the sending of the Savior at one time and the sending it back into the message in the center of our lives, our country, our world, over and over again, day after day, year after year, we thank you. Father, we pray over our children and our grandchildren. We pray, Lord, for mercy for them. We pray for the grace that they need to do well. We pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged. Come and bless them so that the Christmas message will take root in their heart. And just fill them with your grace and your wisdom, Lord. Help us to recognize that in you is all that we need to live out our Christian life. Help us to recognize that in you, even the smallest gift of a song, a word, a thought, a deed, is more than enough. And so, Lord, bless us to that end. Give us an appreciation for the gift of Christmas, not just in the Bethlehem manger, but the birth of Christmas in our hearts and our lives. And I pray that by your name, Jesus. Amen.